Here's another one from Numbers chapter 6, 23 to 27. We can see here that this is a rehearsal. Through this rehearsing, we recognize the Lord. And this is what he says in Numbers chapter 6. You want to make a note on that notepad? Speak in the ear unto his son, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel. That means he's establishing this sign and knowledge over the people for a point of contact. And he's saying unto them, this is to show the connection of government and the priesthood. And this is what he says here, the Lord bless you and keep you. That's because they have the stewardship and the priesthood. Now, absent of the stewardship and the priesthood, the Lord will not bless you. He will curse you. He will put a mark of desolation upon your head, whether it be to war, famine, or pestilence. So this shows the connection of the government and the priesthood. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And of course, makes his face shine has to do with the day star. In fact, we'll be talking more about that in a moment. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord lift up his countenance has to do with that you're able to identify the voice of the Lord. Hey, the voice of the Lord is within the stewardship. Hey, the anointing is in, hey, the vessel. So the Lord lift up as the day star rises his countenance upon you as the light shines, okay, and give you peace. And they, the steward and the priesthood, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. Of course, the name has to do with his word. His word has to do with the knowledge, and the knowledge has to do with his covenant. They shall put my name, which has to do with his word. The word has to do with the covenant. They shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them, which has to do with a benefit and to advance the joy, to joy and rejoice in the Lord, and I shall bless them. Now you'll find that in Numbers chapter 6, if you want to make a note on that, go back and to explore more on that verse and build an altar for sacrifice. Here's another one from Numbers chapter 7, verse 89, is the voice of mercy. When Moses has gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with the Lord, to speak with him, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the Ark of the Testimony from between the two cherubims, and he spoke unto him. That's in Numbers chapter 7. So we can see the point of contact and revelation. Okay, God's peace is in the priesthood. God's peace is in your stewardship and priesthood. His mercy is in these tools. So Moses, being the steward, went to the tabernacle congregation, which is point of contact, and God revealed himself to him. Okay, the anointing being upon Moses, the voice of the Lord spoke to Moses. And where it was from? It was from the mercy seat, which is upon the ark. So to be the witness and the record, okay, and the voice of the Lord was in this power, the witness and the record. And the two cherubims represent, which are also in representation of the activity of angels, the ministering spirits. Let's read one here also from the book of Mark. We'll get started here before the bell rings. Mark chapter 4, 10 through 11, which has to do with this mystery. Now, when Jesus was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable. And he said to them, that were those which consented, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. The carnal eye can't see this. Of course, what was he talking about? He was talking about himself. Those which are carnal-minded cannot see the anointing within the stewardship. They want to separate the anointing from the stewardship to themselves. That means their own independent and self-study or self-leadership. So he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So talk about kingdom, we're talking about a government. Okay, when you talk about a government, you're talking about a form of law. In order. Law and order comes through the government. This is to establish the saints within this form of behavior of faith. And he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, outside of this kingdom, all these things are done in parables. They hear words, but they don't understand the anointing. They hear the words, like they can read the Bible, they can read words, but they don't understand the source. Well, they'll say it's inspired by God, but they don't understand the source of this interpretation, because their interpretation is private interpretation. And verse 33 and 34, and with many such parables spoke he the word unto them as they are able to hear it. So the Lord Jesus Christ used symbolisms and parables. The things which he created by the letter of his own name for the purpose of explaining these mysteries about himself. But without a parable spoke he none unto them, and when they are alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And that's what we're doing today. Have your Bibles open to Thessalonians. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll be starting with verse 1. Today we'll talk about the times and the seasons here, which is rather interesting because this is also applicable to this present time, because we are in the seventh day of time and the third week of power, also known as the second eighth week. So we're going to start here where Jesus, or not Jesus, but the apostles here, by Jesus' instruction, talked about wherefore comfort one another with these words. In other words, this knowledge will give you your peace. This knowledge also will dissolve your doubts as the anointing speaks in your charity. We talked about that last week. It's concerning, it's a doxology, and your doxology, which has to do with the conclusion of today's message, is a portion of knowledge which you offer in your sacrifice of charity. So Paul goes on here and he says of the times and seasons, I like the word times and seasons there. Okay, so the Apostle Paul is talking about not a calendar date, but a man date. And we talked about that last week. A calendar date is not to be used. And we know that the false religious system using a calendar date has been misled. Okay, just like appointing calendar dates for Christmas or appointing calendar dates for Passover or or Easter, as it's also called. We're not following a calendar date. We're following a mandate, which has to do with that which God has put within the stewardship. The day of the Lord is that which he put in stewardship. That's why it's called the day of the Lord. The appointed time is in this man. The appointed time or the disclosure has to do with the person. As Jesus talked about these mysteries, the parables had to do with unfolding the mysteries of his own plan himself. Okay, so here we can see in chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, those just coming in, as God prepares the beast for winter or summer, the beast which is creatures of the field. The creatures of the field gain fur at the changing of the season from fall to winter, and they begin to lose their fur concerning the spring and summer. So we see how God prepares the beast for winter, and for the changing of the weather, and for the changing of season. So also we stand always ready for the Lord, okay, for the changing of the season. The changing of season has to do with what the Spirit of the Lord is revealing or disclosing for this point of time. Okay, we're being clothed in righteousness. We're being prepared for the changing of season, clothed for the season. Now the times and seasons, the Apostle Paul says here, brethren, being not a calendar date, you have no need that I write unto you about the changing of the weeks. We can also read about the same thing in Ecclesiastes. If you want to make a note on that, we don't have time to go there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as thief in the night. And you see how the word day of the Lord, the appointed time which the Spirit selects to reveal himself, as a rapture date. A rapture date is a mandate. It's the appointed time which the Lord himself knows. The apostles also received instruction from the Lord. He says, as the Father has chosen or has elected that particular time, it's not for you to know that time now, but you will know the time later in Acts chapter 1. So here the apostle Paul is talking about, we explain and expound carefully regarding this time, the time of visitation to reward your faith, which is also talked a number of our days, which is number 10 and 7. We'll be talking more about the numbers today, about 10 and 7, which has to do with the priesthood and the stewardship, the 10 and 7. Now you see these particular numbers, the number 10 and the number 7, used continually from Genesis to Revelation. In the book of Revelation, you can see numerous times the number 10 and number 7, which is identifying the true stewardship in contrast to the false stewardship. The false stewardship and the beast that the mother harlots rise upon. Has 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his head. So we see the false religious system being manifested And the color of the beast, which is a scarlet-colored beast, also identifies the woman, the mother harlots, which is sitting upon him, but she is also clothed in scarlet. So the false religious system is building with the Antichrist spirit, which has numerous heads, or called mountains. But we know that there is one mountain of the Lord, which is superior to all other mountains or hills. And we are established by the, through the stewardship on the mountain of the Lord. Noah's Ark sailed upon the top of the mountain. That one family had a refuge within the Ark on the top of the mountain, which has to do with the peace. God's peace is with the stewardship. Noah, the sign which God put upon Noah and his family, identified that my peace will be with you. My peace is with you and with all creatures on this mountain. All creatures identified all nations. All nations that will emerge, called the Gentiles, will find their peace within the refuge of the stewardship which is upon this mountain, which should be fully known in the end times, the last days. We'll be talking more about that also. So the Apostle Paul's talking about the times and the seasons. We're in the season of the second, eighth week in the end time, the last days. This is the season of the second, eighth week, which the Lord has revealed through his prophet, anointed prophet and scribe Enoch, Enoch the righteous. He was writing these things down at the mouth of Verivial in the seventh heaven for 60 days. No breaks. He was writing these things down. Of course, he didn't have to take a break. He was writing these things down by the power of the Spirit, as Moses also was sustained for 40 days and 40 nights back to back, okay, in the top of the mount. For 40 days and 40 nights, isn't it? Mount came down and went right back up there, 40 days and 40 nights. There he awaited the word of the Lord, okay, and he received the word of the Lord. And the stewardship received that word in the top of the mountain, as also Noah received the word of the Lord in the top of the mountain. As also Jesus received the word of the Lord in the top of the mountain. But both Elijah and Moses spoke to the Lord in the top of the mountain, which is also atop of Mount Hermon, or the Mount of the Transfiguration. Okay, the place of change is in the top of the mountain. And those that flow to the top of the mountain go through the work of this change, called the work of regeneration. Hey, the work of regeneration is in this refuge. You have a refuge through this knowledge. The season is now. All the true prophets of God point to this season. Hey, and this is what has been revealed through the prophets of old, as also modern prophets. For yourselves know, as the Apostle Paul is writing this perfectly, that the day of the Lord, which is the appointed time of the Spirit, so comes as a thief in the night. So it's not a calendar date, but a mandate. The mandate has to do with the points of reward. We know the Lord visits his people all the time. And when he visits us, the angel of righteousness also leaves a reward when he beholds that you have the mark of Christ within you. The mark of Christ is your faith. And your faith is building and bonding in this, the terms of this covenant. The terms of the covenant identify the stewardship and the priesthood which you're functioning with. And now those which do not bear this mark bear the mark of destruction. They carry the mark of death, okay, the dissolution. Let's go to John chapter 10, verse 8. Okay, and you can put your marker here because we'll be coming back. We're going to John chapter 10. Jesus is identifying himself as a door. Verily, verily, say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now we know that Jesus was identifying himself as a plank of wood, okay, with a doorknob. He wasn't saying that. What he's talking about is a point of access. Now, a point of access also needs a key. So Jesus also is the key. And of course, we'll see this in a moment in the book of Revelation. Verily, verily, I say unto you, as he's speaking to his apostles and disciples, I am the door of the sheep. Or I'm the key to the throne for all the consenters. I am the door of the sheep. Okay, or the key to the throne. Now, we can identify this, okay, just by our own existence within this dimension. We create doors for the purpose of security, okay, or, you know, to enter in and out. So we can identify with this parable. Okay, Jesus is identifying something that's familiar to us, okay, but he's also making personal application for our faith. Okay, just like the word mountain or the word key. I'm the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. You might want to highlight the word all that ever came before me, because the protesters have their own prophets. They were out of season with what God was doing. Now, the Pharisees were out of season with what God was doing. We can see the history of those in ancient Israel and Judah, how the false prophets were out of season with what God was initiating for the time. When they would say peace and security, the true prophet would say war and famine and pestilence. When the true prophet would say peace, then the false prophets, okay, would say the very opposite. Okay, verily, verily, I say unto you, I'm the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me, the protesters and the false prophets, they pretended to be the light. They pretended to be the light. Okay, all that came before me are thieves and robbers. Like they were thieves and robbers. Because these were Satan's stewards, Satan's prophets and apostles. They were plundering the soul of faith. Being in the wrong season would be like wearing, you say, swimming trunks in the middle of winter. Okay, or wearing Arctic clothes in the middle of summer. It could be the degrees outside would be extremely hot. You wouldn't wear, you know, heavy clothing. Okay, so the proper clothing is identified with the proper season. And we're wearing the clothing of light, the clothes of righteousness. Robes of righteousness is what we're wearing in this particular time. No matter what the season is, whether it be summer or winter, okay, or fall or spring. And we know that those seasons our Lord has appointed to continually manifest themselves even during the millennial reign as well as also new heavens, new earth. As long as the earth remains, it'd be sowing time and harvest time. And the Lord has already made that known way back in the book of Genesis. And we can also see these things to be manifested in new heavens, new earth. It's a parable of time. Okay, the parable of time and season. So those that are clothed in the robes of righteousness are always prepared for the next season. So all that came before me, they were improperly dressed. These are thieves and robbers. Okay, but the sheep did not listen to them, did not hear them, because those of faith, when hearing these protesters, did not put their hand into the aspiration with them, because those of loud aspirations, those are the ones that protest the key. Those of loud aspirations protest the key. And Jesus identified himself as, I am the turnkey. I am the door. And I am the light of my Father's throne. That's what Jesus is identifying himself. I am the light of my Father's throne. Okay, and we'll be seeing more about the door here in a moment. I am the light of my Father's throne. I open and no man shuts, and I shut and no man opens. Now, Jesus was identifying himself as the key, but he put his hand upon his right hand upon the head of John, the chief elder John, and the Lord's hand were seven stars in his right hand. And he put his right hand upon the head of chief elder John, which is identifying him as the steward, which is addressing the conditions of the seven churches of Asia. And putting his hand upon chief elder John, okay, the apostle John, okay, he was identifying himself as a door and a key. So when he says here, I am the door, Jesus said, the stewardship is the door. And by me, being the steward and a record, by me, if any man enter in, I mean, those which consent, those that consent to this knowledge, bear my name. Okay, or bear the name of the house. We'll be talking more about that. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You're coming from darkness to light. Of course, this is what we'll be reading about in Thessalonians. We go back there in 1 Thessalonians. We'll be closing with that as concerning being the children of the day, not of the night. Okay, because those which are night are identifying the Sabbath day, the day itself. Those of the light are identifying the man, okay, which has to do with the mandate, the stewardship. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. By me, he says, by me, the stewardship. If any man enter in, that's concerning this covenant, he shall be saved as by the covenant, okay, from the darkness. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. In Revelation chapter 22, he talks about these things. It's concerning the spirit and the bride say, come. He that is athirst, come. Okay, let him come and drink of me of the water life freely. Okay, so he shall go in and out to have the liberty, okay, as stewards as kings and as priests, because there's no restrictions for your rest in my word. And then, of course, Jesus talked about, beware that the record of Satan only plunders. The record of Satan is darkness, and the record of Satan plunders. It's death. Death diminishes strength. Death robs the body of its strength. That's what death is. When the spirit and the soul leave the body, the shell now goes into a form of decay. It goes back to dust, as was declared by the Lord in the very beginning. So let's now go to Revelation here. Now we're going to jump over to Revelation quickly. Revelation chapter 3. Let's read a few verses there. I'll start in verse 7. And you can highlight these particular things, the word key and door. Key and door. And we'll see that in verse 7 and 8. Unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, this is the revelation which the Lord is saying. This is the revelation which I'm bestowing upon your chief elder here. Which through this knowledge he's going to address. To the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true. Now we talk about holy, we know that has to do with that. We're separating yourself from the world and a God. You separate yourself from the world and a God through what? Through the door, by the key. And he that is true, we're talking about that which is in the original pattern. So these things says he that is holy, separated from the world unto God through this door by the key. He that is true, which has to do with the original standard is set within the stewardship. He that has the key of David, cite the word key there, David, which is the stewardship. David is a person. David is a steward. David was the king of Israel in Jerusalem. You got to keep that in mind. King of Israel in Jerusalem. And the fortress of David is also on Mount Zion, the size of the north, the city of the great king. So we see the stewardship and the priesthood being joined together in this one particular city and position. Mountain. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, being the stewardship of the new week. He introduces now a new pattern. Key of David, he that opens and no man shuts. Keep that in mind now. It's not just a declaration or decree of a man, but it has to do with an activity. He that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. And this we see also in the book of Genesis, we'll jump in there in a moment. I know your works, the activity which he has signed for your faith, which is in the priesthood. Behold, I set before you an open door, which has to do with the new season. A new season. This is an open door, a new season. And by this you come to me. And no man can shut it. No man can shut it. For you have a little strength, kept my word, have not denied my name. So I hide the word little strength. The word strength there, of course, we know strength has to do with these covenant gifts. The covenant gifts are provided for you for your reflection and faith. And he says, little strength. He says, what you've been bonding with right here, has been now diminished. Something happened. That our temptation was upon them, a challenge provided for them, a contrast was being pressed on them. So they have a little strength. But you have kept my word. And word has to, this is the knowledge of the kingdom. This is the name of your adoption. The knowledge of my kingdom is the name of your adoption, which is in Jesus Christ. Not Moses, not the knowledge of the law, but the knowledge of grace. You have kept my word, being this knowledge of grace, and have not denied my name. See the word name there. So I hide the word name, connect the word name to the word word, because the name is in this knowledge. Now the false religious system, they feel the name must be properly pronounced in the language of the time, whether it be in Hebrew, particularly Hebrew. So those which are trying to build a relationship with God based upon proper pronunciation, like your Jehovah's Witnesses or those which are in Yahweh or those which call themselves Yeshua, Jehovah Jireh, that's not what he's talking about. That's misinformation. And he says here, and have not denied my name, you're talking about is concerning the knowledge of this covenant. The knowledge of this covenant, the word. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. See, the two are connected together there, which has to do with the knowledge of this kingdom. We're building by the rules of the anointing. We're building by the rules of the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the anointing, they're the sons of God. not as many as can interpret the text and place it in the phases of their own theology, okay, but those which walk by the Spirit, the anointing. Behold, I'll make them, now this is interesting, I'll make them in the synagogue of Satan. And this is what the Lord is saying about the false religious system. Well, that's why we call it the false religious system. We're saying false religious system and not calling them the house of Satan. Okay? Because it won't be understood. These are believers that are not in covenant. Okay? But here, he uses stronger language. Okay? These are those which did believe, but they're taking the knowledge to the aspiration. And taking the knowledge to the aspiration makes them the synagogue of Satan. But here he talks about, as he goes on here, now they're synagogue of Satan because they're not in his kingdom. They have not kept his word and they have denied his name. Okay, they're not working with the knowledge that comes to the stewardship, the chief elder John. Okay, they're working with the knowledge of the law. They're mixing covenants as the Doctrine of Nicolaitans. The Doctrine of Nicolaitans being mixed with the gospel of Jesus Christ makes it unclean. Okay, it makes it corrupt. Mixing the law with grace is like mixing oil with water, okay, or vinegar with wine. Okay, mixing vinegar with wine makes it rather bitter. You know, who wants to drink that? Behold, I make them a synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews. Okay, which has to do with those of faith. He's not talking about the race. He's talking about being those of faith. Okay, behold, I make them a synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, being those of faith, and are not. These are not the people of faith. These are protesters. So he uses very strong language and saying the synagogue of Satan. That when he's talking about the synagogue of Satan, he's not talking about Satan worshipers. Okay, upside down crosses and hexagrams and all these other kind of, you know, unusual things that that you would see if you go to this particular store of the cults, store of the occult. All right. Behold, I make them a synagogue of Satan. You say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Okay, and are not, but do lie. Now, he says, when he says the word lie there, he says they're taking the knowledge in the wrong direction. And when he said the word lie here, it doesn't mean they go around and make these obvious proclamations. Okay, in other words, it's day outside, but they say, oh no, it's not day, it's night. Ah, you're a liar. You must be of the devil. Okay, now that's not what he's talking about. It's not talking about the obvious. He's talking about the unobvious. Okay, that which is concealed. When he says do lie, hey, they're only true to themselves, aren't they? Hey, they're true to themselves as they follow the aspiration, the religious aspirations. Behold, I'll make them come and worship before your feet, know that I loved you. And what he's saying right here, my spirit will move their hearts, the hearts of these believers, to respond and assemble at your feet of authority. Regardless of the conflict that's presently existing right there, yeah, they realize the error which they have been embracing in the synagogue of Satan, and come out of the false religious system into the covenant of Jesus Christ. Now we're going to see about the door and the key here, and we go to Genesis. You can highlight the word key of David and door in verse 7 and 8. Okay, and we're going to jump over to Genesis 7 now. Okay, in Genesis chapter 7. In Genesis chapter 7, we're seeing an interesting number and a group of numbers. Okay, which we also identify, we can identify with them today. Okay, the number 17. Okay, and what's interesting about the number 17 is that Easter morning, okay, or because on Resurrection Day, Easter morning, we see April 17th. We're going to start here around verse 10. Okay, I'm in chapter 7, verse 10 here. And it came to pass after 7 days, okay, which also identifies as 7,000 years. And yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. The 7 days also represent 7,000 years. Now, we're in the seventh day of time, but the third day of power. Okay, the third day of power has to do with the door that's open. Now, it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month. So I have the word second month because Noah is also the second Enochian week. The second Enochian week. Now, Chief Elder Peter identifies him the eighth person. So we see the second week, eighth person, or second eighth week. Okay, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month. I like the word 17th day, which is 10-7. Noah is the priest and the steward. 17th day of the month. So the Lord selected that particular day to identify a conclusion. Okay, a beginning and a conclusion as the Alpha and Omega, the 10-7. The 17th day of the month, the same day where all the fountains of the great deep broken up, giant sinkholes opened up. They opened up real wide and all the water underneath the earth was gushing up, as well as also coming down. And the windows of heaven were open. Okay, a door was open. The windows of heaven, a door was open. Okay, so being open, they were going to see also they're going to be shut. So the windows of heaven were open, and rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, and the number 40, of course, identifies a generation and a trial. In the selfsame day, Noah, his family, the family or the house of Noah, Noah's wife and the son's three wives there, and three wives of his sons with them into the ark. Okay, which shows mercy is in the tool. The ark was prepared for this time, but it took over 100 years in the preparation. They labored among themselves for a long period of time with the assistance of the angels in construction of the ark. And you'll see this in the movie of Noah. Okay, of course, the angels didn't particularly look like that. That's just a free license of Hollywood to design the angels in that manner. So we can see that God intervened in the lives of the ignorant and also the unsanctified, okay, the beasts. The animals came in and also showed it as the unconverted, but the Spirit moved them into the ark. And now we'll go to chapter 8. We'll start with verse 2. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, okay, and the rain of heaven from heaven was restrained. Okay, so this is the door that's being shut. He that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. The activity of heaven is not by the decision of man, not the flesh. It says, no man can open, no man can shut, which means the activity of the flesh, nor the voice of a man, can initiate these things. The false religious system feels that they possess certain authority to open and to shut. You can't. They want to make declarations of revival. Okay, so they try to open the doors of heaven. Then they try to make declarations of binding Satan. So they try to close the door to the devil. You can't do that either. The apostles never taught that. Jesus never taught that. But the false religious system built a perception through many different authors, which wrote many books about these forms of confessions. They took the form of confession to new liberties and new lengths, which were not ordained nor sanctified by God. Now, verse 3, the waters returned. They went back to sinkholes, okay, or the huge drains, and they sucked up all the dead and floating, bloating corpses at the time, too. Okay, and, of course, all these were gathered together, including large, great beasts at the time. We call them in the Greek dinosaurs. That's a recently coined word, okay, the word dinosaur, but they were great beasts. All these animals, okay, were being sucked down in these particular locations, and this is where they're finding groups, particularly, okay, of bones, dinosaur bones. All right, and so the waters returned from off the earth. Just give a little history on that. Continually there, and at the end of 150 days, which is 5 months, okay, the waters were abated. And of course, and then 2 months later, now the ark rested in the seventh month and the 17th day of the month. See the word number 17 again. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord again elected that particular number, 10-7, which represents the stewardship and the priesthood, and the place of refuge, and the tops of the mountain. 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. Okay, so keep that word mountain in mind. The waters decreased, okay, which has to do with being pushed back. The same thing with the false knowledge of the world. When the false knowledge of the world overshadowed the earth, God had a place of refuge for the righteous, known as Noah's Ark. Okay. Now when the waters receded through the truth, okay, you notice that the ark settled down as Jesus coming back. Now the waters decreased. The stewardship, again, pushed back the darkness. The waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen, which has to do with the Lord's house, those of this family, okay, on the top of the mountain. Now it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. The gates of heaven were open, now the gates of heaven were shut. Okay, this is approximately a year later. So this is the family of the house of Noah, which had the refuge in the ark. Now we're going to go to the book of Isaiah. Okay, and now we're going to Isaiah, from Genesis to Isaiah chapter 2. Let's read a few verses. And we're going to bring it now from the book of Genesis to the present day, from ancient times into the present day. And we can see the conditions that existed for this time of judgment and deliverance. We're going to start with chapter 2. We're in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. That's during this time. It came to pass that in the last days, hide the word last days, which we're in now. We're in the last days. Okay, Isaiah foresaw something. There are two events, two clocks that are moving. One has to do with physical Israel, okay, and also the church. That was the Spirit of the Lord is unfolding within us. So it should come to pass in the last days, I like the word last days near, that the mountain of the Lord's house, which we're in, we're the family of the covenant, is in the mountain of the Lord's house, or also known now, as the Lord has revealed, the house of Eva. God is making distinction of the house of Eva. You can see the same example there in the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, when Achan was separated from a particular house and from a particular tribe. For the Spirit of the Lord gave us a prime example of separation. This particular house of Zerah there came together, and from there also another house came forth, and from there another family came out. And that family of Achan was judged. And so we can see there is a separation, separation, separation. Now the Lord's doing the same thing today. Separation, separation, separation. He's calling forth people from that false religious system into the covenant. Now, those which are in covenant will come into the house of Eva and be in the house of Eva. So you can't separate the covenant from the house. The covenant is in the house. Okay, just like we see with the house of David, the son of Jesse. Okay, the house of David, son of Jesse, of the tribe of Judah. Okay, but it was also the house of Obed. Obed, from Obed to Boaz. You see the number 10, number 7 there, portrayed through the stewardship and the priesthood, which would be born through from Jesse to David. Okay, and deliverance would come through that house, the house of David. All right, shall be established on the top of the mountains. This is what the Lord is doing now, in the tops of the mountains, which has to do with the beacon of light. Now you see that in the illustration, the tops of the mountains, right, which has to do with the revelation which Noah received and regarding his house and all cattle. Because the cattle were in the ark, the Lord also blessed them. Okay, there should be peace. Then we also see the time of Abraham receiving his particular revelations in the top of the mountain. Okay, the revelation he received, okay, would be a seed which received from him, which would enter into the holy city, New Jerusalem. Then we also see another example of that of Noah receiving. Or not Noah, but Moses receiving the commandments in the top of the Mount Sinai. Okay, in that particular region there, of Mount Horeb, they say that mountain range. Okay, among many other mountains. Okay, the mountains of aspiration were all around this one mountain, because that's where Moses was feeding the sheep. He was feeding the sheep upon the grassy hills there, these mountains. That's where he saw the vision. Okay, and went to that particular location in the top of the mountain. Okay, so here, in the top of the mountains shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it, like a lighthouse. Above all of the mountains, we see also Noah's Ark. And it goes on here, okay, above the hills, which means it made known in superior, being chief of the brethren, which the Gentiles shall heed. Gentiles, all races of all nations. Okay, above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it, which the current of knowledge shall go uphill. They will flow upward, not downward. Flowing downward is the aspiration. Flowing upward is faith. It's against logic. It's against logic. The nations shall flow into it. It's the top of the mountain. It's the top of the mountain. Okay, water flows downhill, not uphill. But we can see that this is supernatural. so that it's going to flow uphill. Those of the Spirit will go with the Spirit uphill, okay, as Jesus went up into the top of the mount. Many people should go and say, come, let us go into, up to the mountain of the Lord. Now we see the mountain of the Lord, then he calls it the house of God, being the house of faith. Come you and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. Now we just read that in Revelation. For he is a Jew who is one of faith, not the outward, but the inward. Now the Apostle Paul made that distinction. Not all they that are in Israel are of Israel, being children of faith. And he uses the word interchangeably, Israel, Jacob, faith and a flesh. And he says here, the house of God of Jacob, that those which are present in the body will flow to this house. And he will teach us, being the steward now, and will teach us of his ways, which is the prophetic path. Prophetic path is a covenant of promise. And we will walk in his paths. We will conform to labor. This is the prophetic path of light as a children of the day. Now we'll be getting back there in a moment, children of the day. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, out of Zion which has to do through the stewardship. The priesthood be established through the stewardship as the key of David. And that's what we just read there in the book of Revelation. Okay, he that has the key of David. He that opens no man shuts and shuts no man opens, as we also read in Genesis. Okay, at the top of the mountain. Okay, those of faith flow to the top of the mountain, to the house of the Lord. And it says here, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He talks about two places, and he used the word of the Lord, okay, which has to do with the anointing. That which the anointing speaks is to those which will be building this city, Jerusalem, the house of the Lord. Now the steward here, he shall judge among the nations, the Gentiles. He shall set policy. He shall judge among the nations or Gentiles and shall rebuke many people. That means set order. Set order to the theologies. Also these ministries. As in that day also with the ninth week. Okay, a transition takes place. And Jesus himself will be here. Okay, and they shall beat the swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. From the open sign to the concealed sign. Their swords, the open sign to plunder, to the plowshares, the concealed sign to build. The sword was given, or the false religious system was the open sign to plunder, but the plowshares is a concealed sign to building. Okay, and their spears, their doctrines, and the open signs, and their pruning hooks, which conceal sign the work of regeneration. Okay, nation shall not lift up sword against nation, because there will be peace, because we're the children of peace. Neither shall they learn war anymore. That is by the covenant of Moses. And that's what Jesus said to Peter, chief elder Peter, put up your sword, Peter. My kingdom is not going to be with the force of the sword and the shedding of the blood. For that, I'm going to go to the cross, and my sword shall be in your lips, because my truth is within your heart. And by this, you shall slay the enemies of righteousness. The house of Jacob. Now here he calls it the house of Jacob. When he just up here, he says the house of God. So you can see that they're synonymous. The same. Okay, when you're in the house of the Lord, you're in the house of Eva. Okay, the house of Jacob. He says, come you, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Micah also picks up the same theme, because Micah is also in the same time frame. And we're going to see this in Micah chapter 4, verse 1. So let's turn your Bibles now. Okay, just a few pages over to Micah. This is really good, because we're going to see how it relates to what's happening right now in the second eighth week. We're going to start in chapter 3, verse 5, because there's a lot to put together here to give you the understanding about the top of the mountains. You see this in chapter 4. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets. That's the false prophets, by the way. And here, chief elder Micah, the stewardship of Micah, is making known and providing a contrast. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err. Now we see the prophetic has emerged to such a degree of reproach to the church, that because it's been reduced to imaginary revelations and psychophysy. Okay, imaginary revelations. That means they begin to construct these imaginary revelations and make these broad and ambiguous. Declarations of what God is going to do. At the beginning of every year, which you see in January at the beginning of the year, those of the false prophetic movement, they call themselves the Kansas City Prophets, they begin to make these declarations. What is God going to do this year? And you even see it in the 700 Club, okay, where the host begins to ask the guest there, what do you see that God is going to do for the church? Of course, they're going to give them the false revelation, the imaginary revelations, what they feel impressed with. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people err. See, that bite with their teeth, that means as a dog bites, and drawing blood. That bites with their teeth and cry peace. And he that puts not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. And which means they really don't believe what they say, but make others to believe them and to trust them. Therefore, night shall be unto you. Now, that's the sixth week. Night shall be unto you. And that's the false religious system has not changed their shed yet. That means they haven't put on the proper garments. They're still out of season and they're wearing the wrong garment. And that's what he says, the children of the night. That's what Paul brings out. Therefore, the night shall be unto you, that you shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that you shall not divine, and the sun shall go down over the prophets. And what he's saying right here, the priesthood now disappear, and the day shall be dark over them. That's until John the Baptist, when God raised up a new steward to point them to direct them to the new stewardship. And then shall the seers, though the false prophets, then shall the seers be ashamed and the diviners confounded, which means they have no answer to all their derision. They're constantly looking for a word of the Lord. And yes, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God during the time of silence. But truly, I am full of the power of the Spirit of the Lord. And this is what Micah is saying himself. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And that's what Isaiah said. Yeah, Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Isaiah was talking about how the Spirit was moving him. And as it's the same thing with the Spirit is doing within us. The Spirit of the Lord or the anointing is upon you. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might, which means can discern what God is doing and teach you the truth. To declare to Jacob his transgression to Israel's sin. That's what we do. We're declaring to Jacob those of the flesh and to Israel his sin. Okay, their transgression, the unconverted believers. Hear this, I pray you, you heads of the house of Jacob. And what he's saying right here, the religious thieves who claim the calling and they start a church. See that? They claim a calling as a den of thieves or the theology school of thieves. Hear this, I pray you, heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. Which means by your moral code, you offend God and then want his mercy, okay, as an evil dog or a thief wants reward. Okay, you don't reward a dog for biting you and you don't reward a thief for stealing from you. Okay, but yet these people do the very opposite. They reward the thief and the dog that bites. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. They claim revival with words, but sow more shame. They claim revival. They build up Zion, see? They're calling revival. They're saying, oh, there's a great move of God over here. Thousands of people in water baptized. Okay, but they do it with blood. Okay, in other words, they're doing it being defiled. Now the heads, which is the chief ones, the heads thereof judge for reward, money and profit, and the priests thereof teach for hire. They hold classes and wages for career, and the prophets thereof divine for money. And what he's saying right here, okay, they're invited to lecture. Okay, they did in ancient times as they do today. The false prophets would go from town to town and hold lectures. Okay, they did in ancient Greece. Mars Hill there, that was a forum there, which they would hold forums right there for lectures and debates. Well, they got that idea also from the rabbis, which would do the same thing, hold open forum debate and hold lectures and conferences. Things haven't changed for thousands of years. And then they say this, is not the Lord among us? See, none evil can come upon us because we believe his word. We are good people. That's what they're saying. We believe his word. We're good people. Therefore shall Zion, for your sake, be plowed as a field. But God shall openly manifest their hypocrisy. For sinners even shall see this. And your revivals will be an assembly of tares. And that's what the sinners are observing these things. Okay. all these so-called great moves of God, as they're calling them. So he says Zion, which is on the top of the mountain, is going to be plowed down as a field. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem should become heaps, and the mountain, the house, the high places of the forest. Because God's going to start a new season. He's going to start all over again. God will start a new season. Okay, and when change comes, I'll do this first. And now we go to chapter 4 here. But in the last days, highlight the word last days again. See, this is what Isaiah said, and Micah is confirming that. Okay, it shall come to pass, which we're living in now, that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established upon the top of the mountains. The other mountains, okay, are false ministries. They're very large, but it's in the mountains of deception. That's where Balaam proclaimed his curse upon the top of the mountains to Balak. All right, and shall be established atop the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills. And the people, being Gentiles, shall flow to it. There it is again, via internet. And many nations, different races of people, many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, okay, or that of Eva. Okay, and he will teach us his ways. That's the ways of the covenant now, the prophetic path. And we will walk in his paths, that which is revealed, as Isaiah also talks about that concerning the isles. Okay, for the law shall go forth from Zion, which is the place of refuge, as Noah's Ark was a place of refuge, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Again, he's repeating, Micah's repeating what also Chief Elder Isaiah, okay, brought out. You see, in that comparison. All right, now let's go back to Thessalonians. Okay. So let's start with verse 2 again. For the times and the seasons, brethren, now we touched on that now, what the times and seasons are. You have no need that I write unto you, because you were properly instructed. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night, not a calendar day. And when they, the sinners, shall say peace and safety, okay, their mountains, the sun of destruction comes upon them, which means to be plowed as a field, as a travail upon a woman with child. They shall not escape, but of course we will escape. As Noah escaped in the ark, and the children of Israel escaped through the stewardship of Moses. But you, brethren, being Gentiles of the covenant now, because he's talking to Thessalonians, which are Gentiles, and Gentiles shall flow to it, nations shall flow to it. But you, brethren, not in darkness, okay, which has to do with the gross darkness of the false prophetic. But you, brethren, not in darkness. Ignorance will not dominate you. But you, brethren, not in darkness, the dead day shall overtake you as a thief, as of one not prepared. Okay, the unprepared ones are believers which are not in covenant with God. They're unprepared. They're still dressed for the wrong season. Okay, they're dressed for the wrong season. They're dressed for the wrong occasion. The same thing like you see on doors. Okay, no shirt, no shoes, no service. Okay, no shirt, no shoes, no service. They post that in the summertime. Okay, they're improperly dressed. You won't be served. Okay, but you, brethren, not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. Verse 5. You are all children of the light. Now, we just read about that in Isaiah, didn't we? You're all children of the light and the children of the day, the day star. We're children of the day star. Okay, which we see again, which is the sun, which has to do with the priesthood. You're children of the priesthood. You have a priesthood. You're clothed with a fine linen garment, pure and white. You're the children of the day and light and children of the day. You are not of the night nor of darkness. You're not of these protesters. Okay, you know where the door of the ark is, the door of the ark. Okay, on the 17th day of the month, there, the 17th day of the second month, Noah's 600th year, okay, which is identifying a time frame. Okay, and we see that during that time frame, okay, the number 17 to 10 to 7, that the stewardship and the priesthood were manifested for their deliverance. So therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Verse 6. Because God has awakened the seed, which is the seed of our conscience now, and not as the protesters who remain also in the trance of death. Okay, the sinners remain in a trance of death, but we have been awakened. The seed has been awakened in us by the water of the word. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, which we're doing now. Okay, watch and be sober, which means through prayer. And Jesus said the same thing as concerning be prayerful, watch and pray. Our Lord said that, watch and pray. Well, when did he say that? He said that when he was giving forth, see, the different seasons which should be unfolding in the last days, which we're in right now. The things that be unfolding in the last day, watch and pray. And we have to be aware of Satan's wiles. Okay? And also remain within the ark of your refuge. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. Verse 7, the protesters, during a trance by these waters, okay, under Satan's shadow, as ignorant beasts, okay, they're indulging the aspirations, they're intoxicated by false knowledge. For they that sleep are sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunk in the night, as the mother of harlots. The mother of harlots was drinking of the cup, okay, of dregs, okay, drunken with the blood of the saints. So let us therefore be sober, he says here. Let us toward the day, being of fire, the anointing, and of the priesthood, be sober, laboring. That's what he brings out here, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Okay, so you can highlight the word breastplate, put the word day there, because we're talking about the day star, which has to do with also the token of our adoption, Jesus Christ. He's adopted us through this priesthood, because his mercy is within his tool. And through these things, we flow to the top of the mountain. Okay, the top of the mountain. The Lord's house is in the top of the mountain, which means the house of Eva exists here, okay, in the top of the mountain. A place of refuge is the house of Noah. The family of Noah had the refuge of the ark in the top of the mountain, by which also in the top of the mountain, Abraham had his revelation, okay, the revelation of things to come. Jesus had his revelation of things to come. Moses had his revelation and regarding things to come. And this is what we have. We also have access. The heritage of faith has access of things to come.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come and come with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.